ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from 5th Canto, chapter 17, verse 21. These are still the prayers of Lord Shiva. Yamahurasyastiti janma samyamam tribirvihinam yamanantam rishayam Na veda siddhartha mivakvachit stitam bhumandalam murda sahasra damashu. I was thinking this is funny because there is the word siddhartham in this. You know, Siddhartha, we know Siddhartha, the Buddha, Siddhartha. When I was young, I read also this book, Siddhartha, the famous book. So I was thinking, what is the meaning of Siddhartha? Now we can hear Prabhupada's translation. Siddhartha means a mustard seed. Not so glorious when we realize the real meaning. Siddhartha. So they call their children Siddhartha, mustard seed. That's maybe some humble name, mustard seed. At least you don't become proud. What's your name? My name is mustard seed. This is humble name. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They may have also some other meaning. Sometimes in Sanskrit word they have some other meaning, or it may not be written exactly in the same way. Sometimes a long A somewhere will change the meaning. Lord Shiva continued, All the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance and destruction, although He actually has nothing to do with these activities. Therefore, the Lord is called unlimited. Although the Lord, in His incarnation as a Shesha, holds all the universes on His hood, each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to Him. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? Purport. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as a Shesha or Ananta, has unlimited strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, and the renunciation. As described in this verse, Ananta's strength is so great that the innumerable universes rest on his hood. He has the bodily figure of a snake, with thousands of hoods. And since his strength is unlimited, all the universes resting on his hoods feel no heavier than mustard seeds. We can just imagine how insignificant a mustard seed is on the hood of a serpent. In this connection, the reader is referred to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 5, verse 117 to 125. There it is stated that Lord Vishnu's incarnation as the serpentine Anantashesh Naga supports all the universes on his hood. By our calculation, a universe may be very, very heavy, but because the Lord is Ananta, unlimited, he feels the weight to be no heavier than a mustard seed. Siddhartha. Oh, Magyanati Miran Basya, Gyanam Dhanam Shalakayam, Chakshurun Militam, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namo. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Karamayam Darati Svapadam Jika Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Chite Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Puritanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangom Langayati Girim Yat Kripam Tamaham Vandi Shri Guru Dinataranam. So here Lord Shiva is continuing his glorification of Krishna, explaining two points in his verse. The first point is that all the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance and destruction, although he actually has nothing to do with these activities. Therefore the Lord is called unlimited. So how can we understand? Lord Shiva said that the Lord has nothing to do with the activity of creation, maintenance, or destruction. Everybody thinking that God is the creator, you know, the one who maintains everything and the one who destroys everything. Prabhupada used to make some word connection using the word God as G-O-D, generator, operator, and destructor. Means the word God means generator, means the creator, operator, the one who is maintaining and controlling everything, and the destructor. That person who is named, known as God, is that person who is creating, maintaining and destroying everything. This is the general understanding of God, no? Isn't it? Even the Muslim, even the Christian, this is one point we have common in all the religion. Everybody is agreeing. And the fact that God is creating everything, he is maintaining everything, and he will destroy, or he is continuously destroying everything. So I was thinking everybody is okay on this point. There is no discussion needed, you know. Sometimes we have to discuss, yes, God has a form, God has no form. There is discussion on that point. Or is different aspect of the philosophy, maybe not clear for everybody, or everybody may have some different opinion, but I was thinking on that point, everybody has common agreement, isn't it? But here Lord Shiva saying, but actually he has nothing to do with these activities. How can you understand this? He's saying the Supreme Lord has nothing to do with creation, maintenance, and destruction. Or is it possible? At the same time, we know he's doing all this thing. So he's actually using this beautiful image. He's creating this beautiful image to show us that although Krishna is creating everything, maintaining everything, and destroying everything, at the same time, he has nothing to do with that. Both at the same time. He's not only the controller, creator, and destroyer of everything. He also has nothing to do with that. That means he is so much more than this. that actually this is so insignificant for him that he has nothing to do with that. Sometimes people ask us, is Krishna God? And I told them that Krishna is God among many other things. He's not only God, but he is also God. But he's much more than God. What is your conception of God is much more than this. But he is also what you're conceiving as God in your mind. He is also that, but much more. So much more, actually, unlimitedly more, that actually being God is nearly insignificant for him. No? He has nearly nothing to do with this. Parashya saktir vividaiva shruyate. Actually, because everything, all this creation, maintenance and destruction, he doesn't have to do any effort for this. His energies, they are just taking care of this. He doesn't need to struggle. God is not like Atlas. You know Atlas in the Greek mythology? Atlas, he's carrying this globe, Earth planet on his shoulders like this. It's heavy, you know. He's like this. He's not blissful. You see Atlas, normally his face not full of bliss. If you have seen already some picture, he rather looks like he's struggling for maintaining this. So sometimes people have this conception of God. Or God is like also Raphael. You know Raphael? He painted that dome in the church in Vatican. Yeah, chapel 16. I don't know how to say in English. Yeah, that is the finger, and God is looking so old. Old man, you know, because for creating all this universe, and this must be so long time. So now it's becoming, he's so old after so much work, and so, you know, so many millions of years. So now God is, he's become so old. Look, body of old man. And finally, he's giving some blessing to his son, Adam, who is quite stout and strong, because he's new, of course. But he has done so much work, so now he is old man. It's like their conception. And but actually, Parasya Shakti, if he deva shruyate, God has not, he never needs to struggle for anything. Actually, Krishna doesn't even have to think about the material universe. It manifests by itself. Or he just expands himself in some other form that will take care about this. And even in this form of Mahavishnu, he's not struggling so much, he's sleeping mostly. No? Lying on the causal ocean and dreaming. This is yoga nidra, divine sleep of Supreme Lord. This is how he creates the world. He's quite a cool guy. God is a cool person, you know. He's not struggling. People, they like, you know, this, take it cool, take it easy. Actually, take it easy is Krishna. He's not always takes everything easy. He doesn't like so much to work. Krishna likes to have fun, to enjoy it. There was one German, I think, who went to India. He wanted to know who is God. He went to India. There were so many temples he could not understand. Who is God? There is Ganesh, there is Shiva, there is Brahma, there is Kartikeya, Durga Devi, you know, so much. So he went to all the temples and he started to inquire. What is this person doing? Oh, this person is creating the entire universe. Oh, creating the entire universe. Must be extraordinary person. Then he went to another temple. What is this person doing? Well, this person is destroying all universe. Oh, destroying all universe. Then he went to another person. What this person is doing? Oh, this person is giving benediction, removing obstacle for everybody. This is Ganesh. Okay, he went to another temple. This person is maintaining everything of Vishnu. Then once he happened to enter a Krishna temple, and he's saying, what is this person doing? And the pujari said to him, oh, he's doing nothing. He's playing the flute only. And he says, playing the flute? He's doing nothing? Are you sure? No, he's doing nothing. He's just playing with his friend and playing the flute. Then he said, so he is God. He's God because everyone else is working and he's having fun. Meanwhile, let all the others work and he doesn't need, he's just playing flute. That means he's really God. No? This is his logic, but he was right. Krishna doesn't need to do nothing. Krishna is thinking only how to absorb himself deeper into the ecstasy and how to make everybody more ecstatic. That's his main meditation. He has no more meditation than this. Let the universe, material universe, be created and destroyed again and again. Let them do so. If sometime there is some soul from this universe who want to come to join us, they are welcome. But he doesn't have so much to think about this. Yet at the same time, he is very much concerned about this. So much so that he comes regularly to help us. And he even comes in the heart of every one of us to help us in every second of our life, trying to whisper into our heart the good path as a super soul, no? He's telling, no, don't do this, do this. You know, when a thief is stealing something in his heart, he knows this is not good. Because Paramatma is there. And Paramatma is telling him, no, no, don't do this. But in this world we are rebellious. We don't want to hear Supreme Lord. No? We want to do what we want. This is our anartha. I want to do what I want. Don't tell me what I have to do. No? Otherwise you become my enemy. This is material world. As long as we have this nature, this frame of mind, don't tell me what I have to do. I decide what I want. I want this. I don't want that. Then we will have to stay in this world. Because this world is created for the person who thinks like that. Isn't it? Material world. This is called Ahankara. Me, my, and mine. What about you? I don't mind. You do your own life, I do my own life. I do what I want. But if like this, we will never experience happiness. It's not possible. Because happiness comes by putting ourselves in the care of some more magnanimous personality who can employ our energy and our consciousness for some higher purpose. Then we will become happy. Otherwise we will deal only with a small thing. Like, this is the tendency. Material world is the world for exploitation. We want to exploit the things for ourselves. No? This is called the material world. But if we want to exploit, we cannot exploit higher things. Higher things. It's not possible. If you are a small employee, you cannot exploit the boss. No? Boss is exploiting you. You cannot start tomorrow to exploit the boss. That will not work. Because he's more smart than you. That's why he's the boss. If you have been as smart as him, you would have been boss also. But you are employee because you didn't get that intelligence out of your past life and this. But one who is smart, you will not become employee because you will understand how to exploit the employee. So he will become the boss. But the employee is the person who never understood how to exploit the employee. So he became employee. So you can never exploit someone who is higher than you. Something higher you cannot exploit. That thing or that person will exploit you. No? If you want to exploit, you have to find something with or someone who is lower than you. And you can exploit it. Even though you may not be so intelligent, you can find someone less intelligent than you. You can exploit that person. No? We have all experience of this. In our life, we have always seen in our class when we were young, in the college, sometimes some of our friend was not really very intelligent. And we could see that actually it was easy to make him do whatever we want. No? Please do this, please do this. And just using some little trick, he will just believe everything we tell on this. No? So someone who is in a lower level of consciousness, you can exploit him easily. This is what the smart guy of this world are doing. No? And they're making everybody work for them, and they're gathering the money. Everybody's struggling. You think they are working. They're not working. They're just sitting in the real boss, you know? Like we call, how we say in English? Who is the big boss of one big company? Don't think he in his office working. I know some of them. They're not. They're on the beach. They're on the beach. They don't even know to think about the business. Somebody else is taking care of them, of that. He's just earning the money. He's on the beach or near the swimming pool, and he doesn't work. No, never. He doesn't need to work. He has already appointed somebody to do his work as a, how we say PDG in English?
CEO. In English?
Yeah.
CEO.
But the developed formula. Director, manager, or something like that. No? President, let's say. President. If you are the president of one big, big company, if you are intelligent, because if you will work, such a work, you know, to run a company like this, if you are really on the active platform, you have to work to make sure the company is running well, and this is a lot of work. So then you cannot enjoy your money. So those who are very smart, they just pay someone to do that. And they just take all the money and they go on the beach. This is what they are doing. This is what is exploitation. So in this material world we can exploit, but if you want to exploit, you have to find something which is lower than you, no? So if we have the desire to exploit, we will always have to relate with something lower. And that's not blissful. If we want to experience something higher, we cannot by having this desire to exploit. If we want to experience something higher, there is only one way, to serve. Because if you enter in connection with something higher, you cannot exploit that thing or that person. You can only serve. That person will exploit you. In certain way, no? If you want to meet the boss and you are the employee, you cannot exploit him, but if you serve him nicely, he will promote you. And one day you may become one of his closest associates, he will maybe promote you as a boss, that you don't need to work also. You can come on beach with him. Yeah, boss has also his friends. They have been very nice. They're working for the company, and he will also give them so much money they don't need to work. So, if we want to experience something higher, we have to develop the mood of service attitude. Then we can relate with what is greater than us. No? This is basic thing, but very, very true. In spiritual life, it works also like this. If someone is a devotee Vaishnava, what he thinks, I want to do what I want, then he cannot have connection with the higher world, cannot really have connection with Krishna. Because for Krishna to reveal himself in our life requires that we will be at his disposal. When we will be fully at his disposal, Krishna may reveal himself. But he will not before, because he knows if I reveal myself to that person who is not having that mood, there will be no outcome of this, because he is not ready to serve. So what will be his benefit? No? So Krishna waits. Krishna waits when we will develop service attitude. Before, we cannot experience Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami explained this. Atashi Krishna namadi nabhavit grahyam indriya sevan mukhi hi jivadu sayam vasturatyara. You know this verse? With your material senses, it's impossible to grasp the transcendental nature of Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastime, etc. It's impossible. But Atashi Krishna Namadi, the name of Krishna, Adi means and so on, means his name, his form, his qualities, they are completely transcendental. The name of Krishna is transcendental, his form is transcendental, his qualities are transcendental, unlimited. With our material sense, we cannot grasp this. What means material sense? Nagrahyam means we cannot catch. Indriyai. Indriyai is the material sense. Material means that these senses that we use to exploit. You understand? These same senses we have, if we engage them into the service of Krishna, they become spiritualized. Rishikena, Rishikesa, Sevayam, Bhakti Ruchyate. If we engage our material senses into the service of the master of the senses, then our senses, they are no more material, they become spiritualized. This is the process of bhakti. But if we use our senses to exploit, then they are material. So if we try to approach Krishna by taking advantage of him, or with this desire to exploit, we cannot grasp him. It will only be invisible for us. Never ever we will be able to experience him. Sevan mukhe hijivado swayameva suracharya. But when Krishna sees that someone is developing a very deep and sincere service attitude, seva, his desire to, I want to serve you, then swayameva suracharya, Krishna will reveal himself in the heart of that person. Because that person is ready. There can be some exchange now between Krishna and that person. Because he has accepted the position that I am your servant. So exchange is possible. Otherwise, Krishna will not. Nabhavan grahyam indriyai. We can try as hard as you want, you will never be able to change purely the holy name. By your own strength, never. Because we want to enjoy, we want to exploit even the holy name or Krishna. We have to develop the tendency not, no, I am not existing for myself, I am existing for you. Anukulyena Krishna Nushena Nam Bhaktiru Uttama. Means we have to perform the things not for us, but for your pleasure. And this is the transposition or the transformation that the process of Bhakti Yoga is teaching us. we have to learn to forget about our own interests and to become concerned by what is pleasing Krishna. Then our consciousness becomes spiritualized. Our senses become spiritualized. And when we are in such a consciousness, then Krishna will appear. He will manifest himself. Svayameva Suratyava. In his full-fledged form, in his full aspect. Svayam Prakash. Krishna will manifest. Prakash means manifest. Svayam means personally. In his Krishna Stupagavam Svayam. He is Krishna. He is God in person. Krishna will appear in our heart, but we first have to develop that service attitude. If we have this very deep service attitude, holy name will become magic. When you chant, if you have this service attitude, the holy name will not be only a mere sound. It will become a person. You will perceive that inside this sound is not sound vibration, but this is a living person endowed with form and beautiful qualities. And holy name will appear to you like this. When you will chant, you will be able to perceive that form, to perceive these qualities, and there will be exchange of love between you and that person. At that time, chanting becomes a very nice experience. It cannot be boring, because this is a living experience. No? This is a living chanting. You're chanting, but there is living reality. Like normally we don't talk to the pillar or to the walls, no? Because we know pillar or wall will not answer. Only crazy men talk to the wall or to the pillar. We don't indulge ourselves in this because we know there is not so much bliss in speaking with pillar or wall, no? But with another person, when we speak, that person will answer. Then there is exchange. This is enjoyable, isn't it? This is why we have friends. We have friends, we have wife, children, because we like exchanges. Because exchanges between spiritual entities is blissful by nature. Yes. Two souls, when they exchange, this is nice experience. When the people cannot have enough exchange in this world, what happens? They become depressed. They feel forlorn, alone, you know. They enter into depression. So they have to go to the psychologist. Oh, I have no friend, nobody likes me. But if somebody has many friends and he has good relationship normally, they don't go to the psychologist because they are fulfilled. There is some exchange. This must be based on love, loving exchange. The nature of the soul is to love, but the soul needs another soul to exchange that love. If we can experience this, then normally we're happy. No? So the real experience of that love is to have that interaction with the most beautiful soul of all souls. Nityonityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, who is the greatest soul of all souls, Krishna. Why Krishna is the greatest soul of all souls? Why not me? This is not fair, no? Krishna is soul. If Krishna is eternal, I am also eternal, no? Nityonityanam. But why he is Nityanam, I am only Nityo. He is the supreme eternal among all eternal. Why not me? Why him? After all, Krishna is a person, I am a person also, no? He is eternal, I am eternal also. So why him, not me? Some people, very envious people, they think like that. Why him? Because he has some qualities you don't have. he possesses all the good qualities in unlimited way. But your qualities, our qualities are not good. If we can develop such qualities as beautiful as him, then then we can be on same level as him, and even more. To those who develop unlimitedly beautiful qualities like him, Krishna grant the blessing that they are promoted to be his friends and even superiors. No? But for this you have to develop these qualities. Like Nanda Maharaj, sometimes asking to Krishna, can you bring my shoes? Gopal, hey Gopal, can you bring my wooden shoes there? And Krishna will go. At that time Krishna is very young, you know, taking the two wooden shoes of his daddy, putting on his head, and like this, teetering because he's not walking nicely yet, he's bringing the two wooden shoes, then giving to Nanda Baba. No? Who is supreme? Nanda Baba or Gopal? Huh? Who is really supreme? Gopal is supreme? If he is supreme, why is he carrying the shoes of Nanda Maharaj on his head? So the people, normally the Vedas explain Krishna is supreme. No? But that's not true. Krishna is not supreme. Nanda Maharaj is higher than Krishna, of course. Because if Nanda Maharaj is saying something, how Krishna can do something else? He cannot. If Mother Yashoda says something to Krishna, Krishna will do. No?
That's why many people, they say, no, Krishna is not God.
Yeah, because they cannot understand. This is too much. Krishna is going too far in his divinity. That he is even giving up his supreme position.
Why Krishna didn't bring the poisons?
It's not Shiva. So Shiva is God.
Why Krishna? Because he can't. And Lord Shiva is very powerful. He can all the poisons.
Yeah.
It's okay.
The reason you could have answered why he is not drinking poison, because he doesn't want to drink poison. So he just put to his servant, you please drink poison for me. How I should drink poison, isn't it? He could have told him that. Why should I drink poison? Isn't it? Mahadev, please do this for me. You know. This is smart. Krishna is smart. He makes Shiva drink the poison. And he's playing the flute. He's drinking the milk and drinking the butter and madhuparka and all this. This is nice. Poison for Shiva.
It's a good answer for this guy.
Yeah. So Krishna is so much divine that he is able to give up his divinity. He can give up his divinity, while at the same time not giving it up. He is a chinta, inconceivable. How you can understand? And at the same time, sometimes he will not obey Mother Yashoda. But mostly he is obeying. So Krishna is ready to give equal position or higher position or very close position. Like they are also the servant of Krishna, but very close to him. They can suggest him something than this. To those who develop very wonderful qualities, like Uddhava. Uddhava in Dwarka, you know, Krishna is asking him advice. Oh, Uddhava, I'm confused. I don't know what to do in this situation. Can you advise me? I know you are very deep and wise personality, great sage. Please tell me what to do. And Uddhava will tell to Krishna, I think this is best to do. And Krishna will do what Uddhava advises. And sometime like this they are speaking each other, You know, they are cousin, but they are like brother, so close. And when Uddhava will become tired, he will fall asleep. He will fall asleep on Krishna's lap. He is in the mood of a servant, but also of a friend. Equality is there with them. Krishna allows this person to live on same level like him, nearly same level, even though he's Supreme Lord. And in Vraj, Krishna allows them to live on exactly same level like him. Like Sridham. You know Sridham? Sridham is the brother of Srimati Radharani. But he is 16 years old. Krishna only 15 and a half. So Sridham is older than Krishna. So sometimes they wrestle, you know? They will do some wrestling. And Sridham is stronger actually than Krishna. So he can put Krishna down on the floor and just block Krishna like this. And Krishna cannot move. Sridham won. Then Krishna has to carry Sridham on his shoulder. Who is the supreme? Krishna or Sridham? No? Who is the supreme? And when Krishna is drinking the milk of Mother Yashoda, you know, this Damodar Leela, Krishna drinking the milk of Mother Yashoda, but then all of a sudden Mother Yashoda, she saw the milk is escaping from the boiling so much that it will come out of the pot. So she decided to remove Krishna from drinking her breast. And Krishna doesn't want, he still wants to drink, because the thirst of Krishna is unlimited. So with his little arms, at that time Gopal, very little arm, is catching the arms of his mother and holding us. With all his strength, he is holding. No! You know? So he's holding. And Mother Yashoda, she just do like this. She removed him. Who is the Supreme? Is Krishna really the Supreme? Supposed to be the strongest of all, no? But even with all his strength, he cannot fight Mother Yashoda. She doesn't need even to make any effort. She's just doing like this. And Krishna cannot remain drinking the milk. She put him on the floor. And then she goes to the stove to put the fire down. You know how you do? How she did? Take some few drops of water in your finger and you throw in the milk. As soon as you do this, milk going down. This is secret for saving the milk. Not turning down, but most of the time you try to turning down, still you will lose the milk. But if you take some drop of water and throw on the pot, phew, it comes down. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yes. Mystical thing. So she did that. And sometimes Krishna has to bow down also in front of Radharani. No? So who is the supreme? Krishna is supreme, or they are the supreme? He made them more supreme than himself. Although he is the source of everything. So that's the beauty of Krishna. He is ready to even give up his divinity. He is so divine that he doesn't need really to be divine. Even if, and actually this is the way he becomes even more divine. Because if God is even able to give up his divinity, he sees that he is really divine. He's not even attached to be the supreme controller. He don't mind. That is his beauty. Krishna is the supreme because he has this quality that he is unlimitedly kind, unlimitedly humble, unlimitedly beautiful. If we want to be the supreme, then we have to develop these qualities also. And Krishna will give us very nice promotion, no? This is why Krishna is so attractive. Not because he is bluish, darkish complexion. Normally this is not considered so beautiful. The gopi, they think like this. They say like this to Krishna. You know, normally the dark thing they not really consider beautiful in order to tease him. This is some play, you know, between them. Normally the darkish thing is considered to be in the mode of ignorance, they say to Krishna. So we are not surprised that you have this nature because you are darkish. So it's normal that you are not a very intelligent person. They play with him in that way. And this is the real beauty of Krishna, no? That he becomes subordinate to whoever is willing to compete with his qualities. Whoever is willing to become humble himself also. Okay, then the spiritual competition starts between Krishna and the devotee. Because Krishna is unlimitedly humble. We can also become unlimitedly humble. If you choose this path, Mahaprabhu told us, no? Trinadapi Sunichena. This is our path. If one sincere person realizes, no, I have to become humble, otherwise I will suffer away. So I will just become humble. Then Krishna will show you he actually is even more humble than you. No? This is really a surprising experience when Krishna will show you he is more humble than you. No? This is like Satan Goswami. You know when Satan Goswami arrived in Varanasi, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Chandrasekhar Acharya, oh, there is one Vaishnava at your door. And go, please, and bring him inside. So he went and said, oh, my Lord, Prabhu, he said, Prabhu, there is no Vaishnava there. Oh, are you sure? Is there is someone, at least someone? He said, oh, down the stairs, there is some dervish, some Muslim dervish. Fakir. Dervish means like fakir. He's there. With long beard and with torn clothes. He's there. Mahaprabhu said, oh, make him enter, please. Oh, are you sure? Yes, yes. So when he came, actually that was Satan Goswami, because he was traveling through the Jarikanda forest for many, many months. He became long hair, beard. Might be some earth on his body, you know. His gamsha was torn. So he came, and as soon as Mahaprabhu saw him, Mahaprabhu just ran toward him and embraced Satan Goswami. He said, oh. And Satan Goswami said, no, Prabhu, please don't touch me. He felt so awkward, you know, because he's so humble. Prabhupada says Satan Goswami is the personification of humility. So he said, no. Please don't touch me. And Mahaprabhu said, no, I want to touch you. He carried him and he sat Satan Goswami on his own seat where he was seated. Then he started to clean the body of Satan Goswami with his own divine hand. He's cleaning the body, removing the hearse which is there. And who is the supreme? Krishna or Satan Goswami? This is Krishna's beauty. There's this competition of humility, no? And Satan was going to say, no, please don't touch me, because I am so much fallen, it's not befitting for you to touch such a low person. You know what Mahaprabhu answered to him? He told him one famous verse that Maharaj Yudhishthira said to Vidura when he came back to Hastinapur after his pilgrimage. He said, Bhavat Vidava Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Prabhu Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Dvantastena Gadabhrija. Persons like you, of the person of your caliber, they are places of pilgrimage personified. Wherever you go, that place becomes a sacred place. And even if you go to some sacred place, you purify that sacred place. Because in your heart, you're carrying the Supreme Lord. Then he said, touching your body is the perfection of the sense of touch. Seeing you is the perfection of the sense of the eyes. So please let me touch your body. This is not Sanatan speaking to Mahaprabhu. This is Mahaprabhu saying this to Sanatan, reversing the roles. No? Krishna is reversing the roles. Krishna is offering prayer to his devotee that what we normally say to Krishna, saying you is perfection of the eyes, you know? The ladies of Mathura, they sang this in Venugita. Whoever sees these two beautiful brothers, Krishna and Balaram, entering in the forest, dressed like actors, with such unlimited beauty, we consider this is the perfection of the eyes, no? But these two persons, they consider perfection of the eyes is to see such person like Sanatana Goswami. They reverse the role. And when Sudam Vipra came to Dwarka, what Krishna did? He made Sudam sit on his own bed and he washed the feet of Sudam. No? He washed it. After he drank the water, I guess so. Krishna is so humble. That is the quality of Krishna. So we have to compete on this quality. We have to declare competition with Krishna. Now I will try to follow your footsteps of humility. And when you will choose that path, then Krishna will... Krishna likes this game. So he will come and he will show you, no, he is more even humble than you. This is amazing. Krishna comes in our heart. We're thinking we're serving Krishna. But how much you're serving Krishna or how much Krishna is serving you, just calculate. Krishna is serving us non-stop, no? Actually, Krishna is serving us. We cannot compete with that. And we will never be able to compete with that. This is why he is the Supreme. Because whatever you will try to do, you will never be able to serve him as much as he is serving you. Isn't it? Krishna is giving you everything. Krishna has given you the power of sight, the power of touch, the intelligence, and even your own soul. He has given this to you. And he is maintaining you. This is only even on a material level, but on a spiritual level, Krishna is serving us always. Whatever you're trying to do, Krishna will reciprocate millions of times more than what you're giving to him. No? You can read the Shastra. It said, you offer just one giwik to Krishna in the months of Kartik, what Krishna will give you back. So he's giving always more than what you can give. Prabhupada said, you make one step toward Krishna, Krishna make how much? 10 or 100 steps toward you. So he is more serving us than anything. And Srila Haridas Thakur said to Lord Chaitanya in Harinam Chintamani, actually you, as in the form of the Super Soul, you are invisibly guiding the person from within their heart, in order to deviate them from their wrong path and bring them on the good path. So Krishna is serving us, second after second, bringing us toward his devotees. He knows life after life is there in our heart, and he's guiding us. Brahmanda Brahmite Gona, in our, how we call this? Brahmanda Brahmite. What is Brahmite in English?
Wandering.
In our wandering through unlimited universe, Krishna is there in our heart. Ramanda Brahmitikuna Bhagyavan Jiva. We are fortunate because Krishna is guiding us actually. Up to the point Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai, up to the point that he will guide us to the lotus feet of his dear devotee. This is his mercy. If we had not Krishna within, guiding us to the lotus feet of his devotee, we would never have met his devotee. This is why I say Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And in the purport, Prabhupada explained clearly, actually Krishna, by his mercy, bring us to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Then the spiritual master will bring us to the lotus feet of Krishna. But first, this is Krishna, as Chaitya Guru. No? We go one day by... We have not done anything. Krishna came toward us, no? In form of a book or in form of a devotee. And Krishna came and told us, hey, what are you doing? Like King Puranjana in Bhagavatam, you know, this King Puranjana, at the end of the story, Krishna appears to him in the form of a Brahmana. And he is coming to search for him. Are you, who, and he's asking, who are you? And his Brahmana said, I am your friend actually, but you have forgotten me. So now I am coming to you again. This is Krishna. Krishna is serving us at every moment of our life. And when we can realize this, we become devotee, Vaishnava. Vaishnava means he has realized that actually Krishna is serving me. And because of this, he cannot do something else than just reciprocate fully. Because if you will realize that this person who is supreme in any aspect is serving you, you will feel very awkward. No? How is it possible? He has reversed the role. So what you can do, if you really realize this, there is only one thing you can do, is try to reverse the role at your turn. Now try to reverse the role also. This is what we are. This is our challenge. We have to reverse the role that Krishna is serving us. No. From today I will not accept any service from you. I will only give you. Nardanam, Nardanam, Nasudharim, Kavitamva, Dagitasha, Kamaye. No? You can give me money or this, I don't want, I don't mind this. You want to give me fame, name, disciples, dependents, I don't want this. You want to give me beautiful woman or beautiful man, I don't want this. Whatever is desirable in this world, if you want to give me, I don't want. I only want one thing. Please give me the chance to serve you. This is, we are reversing the rule, no, by this. So we are entering into the divine exchange. This is, in spiritual world, is working by divine competition. No? Everybody is trying to serve each other. When everybody is trying to be the best and to be the king, what happens? It brings chaos. The result of this is the chaos. Or what we see in this world. Chaos. There is no king because everybody wants to be the king and suffering. But when everybody trying to be the servant of each other, what happens? This is the opposite, no? If you want to be the master of everyone. Everyone wants to be the master. The result is chaos. Now, if we reverse and everybody is turning to be the servant, what happens? The reverse. Harmony. Brings harmony. Harmony works by everybody's trying to be the servant of the other. So this devotee of Krishna, they're trying to serve Krishna. They don't want anything from Krishna. And Krishna is trying to serve them. He doesn't want nothing from them. And this brings exchange of love. Because that service, we call service, ahituki pratihuta, unmotivated, without expecting nothing in return. This is called bhakti. No? Savai pungsha paro dharmo yato bhakti rato kshayate. Ahituki apratihata yayatma supratihati. The supreme duty for every living being is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord with love and devotion, without expecting nothing in return. This is called ahaituki. Just serving without expecting nothing in return, absolutely nothing. Apratihata, without stop, non-stop. Yayatma supersedati. By doing this, the soul can experience unlimited happiness. Because this is what we call love or bhakti. Savai pumsha paro dhamo yato bhakti adokshaja. Bhakti is, or love is, that we are just giving without accept, without desiring nothing in return. This is love. If I am giving or expecting something in return, this is business, not love. Business. Businessman is doing like this. You want this? Okay. I have everything to give, everything I have I can give you, but there is price. No? Like in my shop, you can enter in my shop, all you have you can, all you see you can have, but there is price. If you want this. But who is working on the place, platform of love and magnanimity will give you without nothing in return. Charitable person. No? So love means giving without desiring nothing in return. This is the nature of love. And service. When we say service, this is the meaning of service. Or this is why Prabhupada said devotional service. We are not doing service. We are doing devotional service. Sometimes we forget this. We say, I have so much service. No. You have no service. You have some devotional service, which is very different. Because service means you are serving, but you are respecting something. Oh, I'm doing this much service, I'll get something. And devotional service means selfless service. You just give because you want to give. Because the happiness actually comes by giving. If you can give to Krishna without expecting nothing in return, then you will understand what is love and what is unlimited happiness. This is how he is living. This is why he is blissful. Because happiness, love, service, they are all the same thing. And humility also. Humility is what is required to do this. If you are humble, then naturally you don't expect nothing. No? And you feel a tendency to serve. So, this is why Krishna is supreme. Because he is unlimitedly humble, and this is what makes him unlimitedly beautiful. Actually, the beauty of Krishna's body, we always refer to the beauty of Krishna's body. Krishna is all attractive, no? We think all attractive means his body is all attractive. But Actually, Krishna's form is just the external visible aspect of his inner beauty. Like the seen layer of a visible beauty we can perceive in him. But inside himself, there is even more beauty. You understand? Krishna is beautiful in three levels. In his form, then in his speech, then in his heart. Krishna's form is unlimitedly beautiful, then Krishna's speech is unlimitedly beautiful, then Krishna's heart is unlimitedly beautiful. And why his form and his speech are beautiful? Because his heart is beautiful. Because his heart has unlimited beauty, then his speech becomes unlimitedly beautiful, and his form also. So if we want to approach Krishna, we have to develop that inner beauty, these qualities that Krishna has. Most important of all qualities that Krishna has, which is most important. Many qualities, no? The most important is this love and compassion. The most beautiful quality Krishna has is that he doesn't think he is greater than the others. Everybody thinking Krishna is greater than everyone, no? Except him. Krishna never ever thought that he is greater than everyone else. That's why he is Krishna. If he would not be like that, he would not be supremely amazing. But he is supremely amazing because of that. He never thinks he is better than others. He is so humble that he is coming in the heart even of the cockroach and helping the cockroach. No? We don't mind about the cockroach. We just live your life and live my life. If possible, I can crush you, I will crush you. But that cockroach we feel desiring to crush, Krishna is entering his heart to help him. Because Krishna says, this is my friend. I have to help him. He is in such low condition of life. I have some more other to go in his heart and try to guide him toward me. No? This is the humility of Krishna. And he comes. And because he has such quality, he will never even be polluted by entering the heart of the cockroach. Because who has a beautiful heart, nothing can pollute him. This is called, it is considered that actually if your heart is pure, your body can never become really impure. Even if you are dirty, if your heart is pure, you can worship the deity. No problem. Because you are clean. Because the real meaning of cleanliness is the purity of the heart. So, Krishna has this purity of heart. That's why he is the supreme. And then, actually, how Krishna is like this? How is this possible? Because he is actually learning all of this. Why Krishna has this unlimited quality? Because he is himself taking shelter of some example. He has an example who is trying to follow in the footsteps to become like this. This example is Srimati Radharani. He's learning everything from her. Her mood, how she is, that's why Krishna develops all these qualities. You can know this. Because when Krishna is with his boyfriend in the forest, he's very naughty, no? He's very restless and, you know, he likes also to steal butter and all this. But when Radharani is there, and he's no more naughty. Like when Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya was very agitated by nature, Nimai, you know, he was very agitated, always doing some, every kind of pranks and naughty things. But most of such is he realized that when Gadadhar is with him, he becomes very peaceful. Why? Because Gadadhar is Radharani. So in the company of Gadadhar, Mahaprabhu was always very peaceful. Because he's taking example of Gadadhar. So Mahasaya Shachi asked to Gadadhar, please remain always with him. Like this, I am peaceful, he will be in a peaceful mood also. I don't have to fear what he will do and all this. So Krishna really is so humble that he's learning even the qualities from his own devotees. And from Radhan. Ultimately Radha and Krishna, they are the same person. And they are on this competition also of beauty of heart. Who will have more beautiful heart? Radhani or Krishna? There is no end to this. But according to Krishna, Radharani has a more beautiful heart than him. That's why he wants to experience her mood. He cannot know this. So he has to experience it by himself. No? He was wondering, I can see that she is experiencing more ecstasy. Ecstasy means love. Actually, she is experiencing more love than me. Her service attitude is more unlimited than mine. Krishna felt he is defeated by Radharani. So he decided that I want to experience that also. I have to go further. And for this he just stole the mood of Radharani. He stole her heart and became golden also. And he became Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu's mood is very beautiful because this is Krishna, but endowed even more with the qualities of Radharani. This is fascinating. Very fascinating personality. He is a Shyamasundar, but he is in that aspect he has also accepted in his heart all the qualities of Radharani. Although he also has these qualities, as we were speaking before, but she has in an even more unlimited way than him. That is their transcendental play. Ultimately, they are one and the same person, manifesting in these two bodies through these plays. There is no exploitation. In the pastime of Radha and Krishna, there is no exploitation. This is why we have to understand there is no lust, because there is no exploitation. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Radhini Shakti Rasmat. This is only manifestation of energy of love, Radhini. So the only, how to say, consciousness or thought that is in the mind and heart of Krishna is how to serve her and please her, and she has also the same mood. They cannot think about exploiting. Krishna cannot exploit. By his nature is opposite. Krishna can only serve. And he has manifested the form of Radharani to do that transcendental competition with himself eternally on the topmost level. Who will serve better the other, in order to teach us and to invite us into that divine eternal competition of love. We call this pranaya vikriti, pastimes of love. We say love, but this is actually something else than what we call love in this world. Because love in this world means we like something because this thing is bringing us some happiness. No? Then we say, this is love. But love doesn't mean this. Love means we love something because our only happiness is that when we see that person happy. This is love. This is how the spiritual world is working. So we have to develop these qualities in our heart. Prabhupada was such a person. Prabhupada was such a selfless person. And he could teach to us gradually, from verse to verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which path we have to follow in order to enter into that mood. Prabhupada just showed us the path at every second of our life in order to enter into that mood, which is the secret, how to attain the Absolute. If you want to attain the Absolute, you have to become like Him. And only someone who has already became like Him can teach you how to become like Him. Prabhupada was living in such selfless sacrifice, no? And his intent was to show us that path. If you do this, then your life will become sublime. He gave us that promise, no? Just chant Hare Krishna. It's not actually just chant Hare Krishna. It's that chant Hare Krishna and also Trinanda Pisunichi. Because one time, you know Dr. Kapoor? Who is Dr. Kapoor? He was one god brother of Prabhupada, disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, but he was a doctor, much more younger than Prabhupada. And before Prabhupada came to America, Dr. Kapoor, he was a student actually at this time, striving to get his degree for medicine. So he asked. And Prabhupada, you know, at this time he was a pharmacist, no? So Prabhupada happened to make some formulas. He created some medicine, Prabhupada. And he was making some tonics. He liked to work on these tonics. And he would give him to his young god brother, Dr. Kapoor, to try. He was like, we say in English, cobaye. In French we say cobaye. I don't know how we say this in English. That person on which you test, you know, chemical substance. Maybe dangerous, you need some person. But many they pay you even to do this, no? Anyway, he would give him, well, please take this, that will be good for your study, that will give you more memory. And he would take, try, oh, this is working. And one day, this young Vaishnava asked to Prabhupada, he said, Abhay, because at this time he was Abhay, no? Abhay Da, we called him Abhay Da, you understand? Abhay Da. Da means brother. Abhay Da. I want, you know, you're always giving me these tonics and this formula that you create yourself. But there is one formula that I would like to know. And Prabhupada told him, yes, which one? He said, that formula you're keeping for yourself. You're not giving to others, you're keeping in your heart and taking for you. I want to know. Prabhupada said, but which formula you're speaking about? He said, that formula for pure love for Krishna. I want to know that formula. And Prabhupada told him, oh, that, I'm working on it, I have not found it. Then some few years later, Prabhupada once there, he remembered. Prabhupada one day came to him and told him, you remember one day you asked me that formula for developing pure love for Krishna? He I said, oh, yes, I remember, that was a few years ago. Yes. You wanted to know. You still want to know? I said, yes. Prabhupada told him, Trinada Pisa Nichena, Tarora Pisa Isilva, Amanina Manadena, Ketanya Sadahari. So you have to change the name of Krishna, but you have to develop these qualities also. These are the qualities of Krishna. Krishna is more humble than the blade of grass. Yes, he is in the heart of the blade of grass also. When you step on the blade of grass, Krishna is there also, inside the heart of the blade of grass. No?
You cannot develop
without
service.
Yeah. Because service is the manifestation of humility. So these are the qualities of Krishna. Krishna is more humble than the blade of grass. No? Krishna is more tolerant than the tree. That's for sure. Krishna is amanina. He's never asking any respect from anyone. Never. So much so that even if we don't want to believe in him, he creates a world for us. You want to forgive me? Forget me? Okay. He's giving us all facility to forget us. He's coming, he's controlling everything, but he's not even asking that we recognize. You want to think you are God? Think you are God. And he withdrew himself completely. So much so that we cannot perceive himself. He even allows some souls to believe that there is no God. This is summum of Amanina. He's not asking for personal respect. He doesn't mind. You don't want him? Okay, Krishna disappears. Because he's very humble. If you want to respect him, then you can. But if you don't want, he doesn't mind. And Manavena, Krishna is always offering his respect to everybody that he has demonstrated in many instances. No, he's always offering his respect. You know what is first thing Krishna does when he wakes up in the morning? He offers his obeisances to his mother and father by bowing down his head at their feet. This is what Krishna does. Krishna respects all the elders, no? Krishna is respecting so much his cows and his friends. You cannot understand how much Krishna loves his friends and his cows. This is unlimited. For Krishna even said to Uddhava, O Uddhava, not even Lord Brahma, not Lord Brahma, not even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, nor my own brother, Varanam, not even myself, are dear to me as you are dear to me. This is what Krishna thinks about others.
To
Uddhava, he said.
But still, he sent him to Vrindavan to see what is real.
Yeah? No, but we are speaking about the love of Krishna. How Krishna loves everybody. So this is Manadena. Krishna is. Because the greatest respect you can offer to someone is to love that person. This is the greatest respect. And Krishna is respecting and loving everybody. If you love someone, you will never be able to disrespect that person. Disrespect cannot take place. There will be always respect. So, these are the beautiful, unlimited qualities of Krishna. And he himself came and gave us that formula, trying to make us understand his heart. If we can understand his heart, and become fascinated by this heart, then Krishna will be happy. We can join in his eternal pastimes. Krishna wants to become like this also. Why you are taking happiness in these nasty qualities that you have developed in this world, no? Srila Raghunath Das Goswami said, this envy is like the urine of a she-hog. And when you are envious of someone, you are just like basing in this urine. This is what you are doing. Envy. You know, means when you don't like someone. This is what, according to Raghunath Das Goswami, is your level of consciousness. You're taking bath in that urine. This is very nasty qualities. Krishna wants us to give up these nasty qualities and develop these beautiful qualities. And he came, and even though he was already like that, he decided to once again and even more than ever show us by his own example, as Mahaprabhu, he gave us example how to be my devotee. No? If we accept this, if we understand this is the heart of Krishna, then we will be desiring, yes, I will follow your path. And then he gave us this jewel. That will be difficult by your own strength to do this. But here is this mantra. If you chant it, it will help you to develop all these qualities, because this mantra is no different than me. And the more you chant it with purity, the more I will enter into your heart also and manifest all these qualities. So he has given us so much things, you know. We cannot serve him, because what Krishna has given us, we cannot give him. No? The only thing we can do is to give us fully to him. Even though that we never match, at least this is what we can do. Sarvadama paritaja, Krishna said. And just if you want to reciprocate to what I'm doing for you, then just do the same. And then if we imbibe this mood, then pure love will appear in our heart. And the material world will be finished. Even if we live still in this world will be like Goruka Vrindavan, no? Because for someone who has pure love for Krishna, even if he lives in this world, he is living in unlimited love. When we say bliss, this means love. We have to understand, bliss means love. Ananda, actually, ananda means love. So this is the humble request of Krishna. Please understand my heart, please understand this path, and change these names and come to me. This is my only humble request to you. Krishna wants us to accept his gift. If we accept it, then we'll become fortunate. Our life will become sublime, like Prabhupada said. And because Krishna is even more merciful, he has given us his own devotees to come and be there in our everyday life to help us to go on that path, no? Like Prabhupada. If we are here every day, it's because just Prabhupada gave his entire life to us to show us by second after second how to do it and how it was possible and how it was blissful. And he just showed us that he was living in complete sacrifice. At every second of his life, Prabhupada never thought about himself. He showed us what is the complete sacrifice for Krishna and for the sake of everybody, all the souls, in order to help them to develop that love, to reach that love. And by showing us this example, then we can understand in all details which path we have to follow. So by following in the footsteps of the great Vaishnava, chanting the holy name and developing these qualities. Praptasya kalyana gunar navasya. We say every morning, the spiritual master possesses all qualities because he got that qualities from the ocean of qualities, which is Krishna. By association with Krishna, that's what we were saying yesterday, by associating with Krishna we develop the qualities of Krishna.
Okay. Sisi Radha Manohari Ki Jai, Sisi Gonita Ki Jai, Sisi Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much.